Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and we're talking about System 2010. This is one of our pre-system teleseminars. We do this every year before every system seminar. We get together with faculty and friends and graduates, and we talk about internet marketing. The purpose of these calls is to give you something solid and useful that you can take away and use to make more money now, improve your business, start a business, cut down on waste, improve response rates, things that you can use. Obviously, we also want you to know about System 2010, which will be in Chicago this year, April 9th through 11th. We also have some special programming that's going to take place after the system seminar, which Perry and I will talk about a little bit later in the call. It's not for everybody, but everybody should at least know that it's available and possible. When I look at the history of the system seminar, I started teaching internet marketing in 1994. Really what I was doing was organizing people that were doing internet marketing, and we were all sitting around in a public way trying to figure it out as we went along. And we would have an audience, and the audience would contribute, and we'd contribute, and we muddled our way to some good ideas, one of which turned out to be the banner ad. We had a guy named Rick Boyce, who was a media buyer for Hal Riney and Partners in San Francisco, and knew everything about media and was very intrigued with this new medium, the internet, but couldn't figure out how he was going to turn it into billable media for his clients. And I remember the day we sat down with him and said, well, you can click on this thing here and it will take you to another page and you'll be able to count how many people saw this little box, and then you'll be able to count how many people clicked on it, and you'll be able to calculate the effectiveness of your advertising. And a few months later, he was selling banner ads by the truckload and for Hotwire, which was really the first commercial venture ever to get serious about selling banner ads. Fast forward to 2002, I put the name the System Seminar on the trainings. I actually only intended to do one. I was kind of frustrated with the fact that no one was getting what a huge shift in the landscape had taken place when GoTo, which became Overture, which became Yahoo, which was eclipsed by Google AdWords, but basically pay-per-click. I saw pay-per-click. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I can actually buy specific traffic and turn it on and turn it off like a faucet and track it and calculate whether it's making me money or not. I'm in. This is going to change everything.
Yeah.
And Perry Marshall. And Perry, thank God, came to that first system seminar, the one in 2002. He got it. And not only did he get it, he went on to become one of the main people to carve the path for the whole industry on how to use AdWords. So with that as an introduction, welcome Perry Marshall.
Thank you. I couldn't resist my enthusiasm about, you know, somebody actually having done that. And at first time I heard about it, I thought it was perverse, but I eventually reformed my ways. So
you mean pay per click?
Right. It's like you're gonna prostitute placements on a search engine.
Well, you know that I'll admit that was my original response, and we have a mutual friend, Jonathan Mizell, and I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, and John would have to correct me, but I think his initial response, I think all of our response was, what? You're going to let people buy their placement on a search engine? That's going to ruin everything. Well, it did the exact opposite. For the few people that may not know, Perry is the author of The Ultimate Guide to Google AdWords, and that's been out now for several years. Perry Marshall and Brian Todd, one of the bedrock books in the field of AdWords. Of course, AdWords, Perry, is really just the tip of the iceberg of what you do, but it's the place where you initially got traction, and it's one of the areas where you've made huge contribution. I can't tell you the number of internet marketing programs that basically say, well, get Perry Marshall's material, step one, learn AdWords from him, and then ... somebody had to go into that jungle, which seemed like an unconquerable jungle at the time, and make sense out of it. Perry, of course, has been at lots of our trainings, and as I mentioned, which we're going to be talking about a little later, Perry and I are doing a special program after the system seminar, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about on this call is, and for lack of a better word, it's an engineering or an engineered approach to marketing. And Perry, you studied engineering in school, yes?
Yeah, I got an electrical engineering degree. And specifically, it was in control systems and communication systems. And so, like, if somebody asks me what I'm doing now and then they say, so what did you do in school, they'll usually assume that where I am now doesn't really have anything to do with what I studied in school. And in actuality, that's not true at all. I see my engineering degree as having been a liberal arts education for the 21st century, and that all of the most important high-level concepts that I learned in engineering and mathematics even apply to the internet. And I don't mean to be intimidated by saying any of that, because I'm sure most people listening to this aren't engineers per se, but there is a structured way of breaking things down into their component parts that you do in engineering that I think was very helpful for me in figuring out what you do first, what you do second, what you do third. And I don't think it's any coincidence at all that given my background that I completely latched onto pay-per-click and fell in love with it right after the first seminar, and the fact that John Keel, who was teaching pay-per-click at the first system seminar, was also a control systems engineer.
And then we have a third friend, good colleague, David Bullock.
Yes.
Who's a better than average pay-per-click guy as well.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and Dave brought in Taguchi and stuff like that. And so so there really is something to that. And there's something to the fact that Google, you know, the big giant search engine is really a big giant process engineering problem where the variables are elements of human language. And so, you know, Google is trying to take all the complexities and nuances of humans trying to talk to each other and break them down into a formula, which is, it's probably one of the hardest things you could ever attempt to do. But obviously, they've done a pretty good job of it. And so, you know, when I was in school, the freshman and sophomore years were dreadfully hard and kind of boring. It was like I'm taking all these core classes and they're really theoretical, and you can't do very much with the stuff that they're teaching us, and the dropout rate was really high, the weed out rate was really high. The very first electrical engineering class you took, they failed 30 to 40% of the class, you know, and the morale was low and everything. And but on the other hand, once I got to my senior year, and I was in engineering not because, oh, this is a great degree to get a good job. It was because I was really interested in making things and designing things, especially audio equipment and stuff like that. And as I got to my senior year, and even to some degree in my junior year, was like, hey, I can use this. Like, this stuff in this class, I can apply this. I can do something with it. And it became very interesting. And, like, my senior year, I'm doing projects in the lab, and I'm building stuff, and it's working, and I know why it works, and I know how it works. And it was very rewarding and very satisfying to do that. And but the thing was, is you kind of had to lay a foundation first. And that foundation would seem kind of boring to a lot of people, because frankly, it was. But, you know, if you translate that into this kind of business opportunity, traffic, make money, all that kind of stuff that we do in our world, there's a lot of things you can make them sound very, very sexy. So, like, for example, you could say to a brand new guy who just came into online marketing, I'm going to teach you how to do a product launch. Okay? And they're like, oh, cool. Okay? And, you know, there's nothing wrong with product launches, and they, and if you have all the right ingredients, they work very well. And, you know, I know Jeff Walker, and I think he's put together a really ingenious system. So, you know, this is not meant to put anybody down. But, you know, if you don't have any customers, if you don't have a list, if you don't have any friends in your industry who would send an email for you,
If you don't have the systems in place to sell and take orders and fulfill orders and all that sort of less than glamorous but kind of important stuff.
Right. If you don't have all that, you know, sending a brand new guy into a product launch, it's kind of like taking a high school senior and stick him in an electrical engineering 401 lab and say, here, why don't you build a little, you know, computer with all these logic gates and, you know, they don't have any idea how to do it, you know, and so, like, I think the most helpful thing that you ever do for somebody is you help them understand, okay, there's a starting point, and there's a middle point, and there's an end point, and there's certain things that you have to observe as you go along. You know, I think in our world, it's make $1, preferably using some kind of a system or repeatable formula as opposed to some one-off bit of manual labor salesmanship. Although, if you have to start off with some manual labor and some salesmanship to figure out what somebody will buy, then go ahead and do that too, right? And what I think was so important about what I learned at the first seminar was I already had done quite a bit of online marketing, and I already knew a lot of the puzzle pieces, and you could parachute me into some company or some situation, and I could figure out good things to do. But the first seminar gave me this concept, okay, you start with traffic, and then you get it to convert, okay? And then you go get more traffic. And
simple.
You know, that sounds so simple and so elementary, but if you skip it, you're going to be in trouble. And so I really appreciated that simplicity.
Well, let's contrast that approach with the typical approach to business and marketing, which is you kind of get an inspiration and you get a sort of an idea and you run around and you start doing lots of things. And everybody has either had this experience, I'm sure, or knows somebody that's had the experience, or several people that's had the experience, of where weeks, months, maybe even years are consumed in all kinds of frenetic activity and all kinds of money being spent. And at the end of the pipe, nothing comes out.
That's a pretty depressing day.
But it's not an uncommon thing to happen.
No. Unfortunately, it's not.
Yeah, and now the fortunate thing is there's a system, there's a method, there's a dare I say science to marketing that saves you from having that experience, and that's what the one that Perry just described, which is, all right, you know, figure out how to get some likely prospects to come to your, in the case of the internet, to come to your page, and start working on them and see what you can put in front of them that gets them to take actions that lead towards a sale. And start from that approach on day one. I mean, haven't you worked with clients who had these grandiose visions of how they were going to take over the world, you know, the various business enterprises, and then you would ask them, well, okay, how are you going to generate a lead? How are you going to turn that lead that cost you $500 or $5,000 into a profit?
Right, and furthermore, a lot of people with a grandiose idea are actually even afraid to find out how well it actually works under the scrutiny of real numbers and stuff. So, if you're a consultant, you know, probably one out of five or one out of 10 clients is going to be like that, where you can't get them to actually carry anything through because they're afraid to find out that it doesn't work.
Which
is actually that's the fastest thing that you ever want to get to is, oh, this doesn't work.
Right.
So,
right.
Because you can always do something else, but you have to get to the that didn't work first. You know, so
we had that experience just yesterday. Actually, we were doing some stuff with video, and we made an absolute beginner's mistake, which we both knew theoretically. But it wasn't until we looked at the footage, we looked at, you know, like an hour's worth of shooting, and said, "Wow, none of this works," and here's why. And we'll never forget to make sure we get that part nailed down again. Now we haven't used the term direct marketing yet, but it may not be too early to bring this into the equation. You said something really, really, really important, which is that you do a little bit of perhaps live selling, you know, or what you call manual labor. We're actually, and I think you would recommend it. I know I recommend it. If you're trying to sell something, it probably makes sense to sell it person to person or over the telephone or talking to real people at first. And the beauty of internet marketing, which is also the beauty of direct marketing, is as once you get that feel for how the thing is best sold in the manual labor world, then you systematize it. You automate it. You turn it into a process. And now you no longer have to personally. This is the holy grail that everybody sort of talks around, but very few people talk about in specifics. Everybody wants to lie in the hammock in Aruba and push send and have the money just cascade into your bank account. Well, in fact, that can happen, but just as when you flip the light switch on in your house, the light doesn't go on because you had positive thinking. It went on because somebody wired the switch and put in the light bulb and connected the house to the main line, and somewhere down the line there's a power plant and somebody's delivering coal or natural gas or nuclear fission material or there's a lot. So yeah, a lot of magical stuff happens, but there's mechanics behind it. And I think, I never thought of this before, but we're kind of internet market. We're kind of marketing mechanics. We're not glamour guys, and we're not big picture guys, and we're not, beautiful slideshow guys. We're kind of like, all right, how are you going to get a lead, and where are you going to get the traffic? And
yeah, there's an extreme level of pragmatism, and I think that's where. A person who understands delivering a practical result at the end of the day. I used to have these conversations with John Mendoza about the kind of sleazy nature of some parts of the marketing business. And John pointed out that if you've ever sold B2B, business to business, you very quickly learn that you can't sell vaporware for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, if you sell even a $1,000 product to, or for that matter, $100 product to a business, and it's a mission critical device, in their factory or something, and it doesn't work, man, somebody is going to be reaming you over the phone so fast. And so you kind of get drilled into your head, stuff has to work. We're not selling soft and fluffy here. We're selling a hard result. Okay, the leads came in at $2.36 each today. Is that acceptable or is that not acceptable? And you start dealing with hard reality and be able to deal with hard reality, and now life just becomes much easier. And a lot of things start happening automatically if your numbers are good enough. So, you know, if your conversion rates are higher than everybody else in your business, you're going to naturally rise to the top, and opportunities are naturally going to start flowing towards you. Because the playing field is never really level. The playing field is tilted to whoever's numbers are the best. And so then, you know, so then your engineered system, you know, it has these five moving parts, and you go, okay, if we add this to it, this other thing, we start incrementally increasing everything. And then it becomes a game of how deep of a bag of tricks can we put on this to make it squeeze value every possible way. And that's a very fun thing to be doing in business, especially when what you have already works.
Yep, and to take this back to something you were saying earlier, that's why one would go through the rigor of getting the basics down really solid. You know, it's not necessarily the most glamorous, exciting thing in the world. For instance, if you're building a skyscraper, the basics is digging a deep hole.
That's right.
You know, nobody's going to pick up chicks, you know, at the, I don't know, the rock and roll bar in Las Vegas telling girls, well, yeah, I what do you do? We just dig holes all day long.
Right.
It's just not going to win. And yet, there has never been a skyscraper on Earth, award-winning or not, that's ever been constructed without somebody digging a really deep hole. And so, you know, when we started out talking about, you know, the less glamorous parts about of the business and maybe things that even sometimes are kind of boring. And I think you know, learning AdWords for some people initially, getting over certain of the humps, they can be kind of, you know, tedious.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we do that? Because the payoff is so huge. When you get it right, and you're willing to work it all the way through to the end. You know, you've worked with lots and lots of businesses on not just AdWords, but really whole business models and direct marketing models and so on. I'm sure, you know, you can think of a couple of businesses just off the top of your head that have gone from, you know, pretty good or you know, barely hanging in, but surviving to kind of, you know, succeeding kind of beyond the wildest imagination of the business owner.
Yeah.
All because you had that base that you could then tinker with. Can you, offhand, is there anybody that you can talk about? I know sometimes clients like to keep
just give you the first ones that come to mind. I had a couple of guys named the Bridges brothers. Joey and Jamie Bridges, they sell real estate marketing training in California. And they got into that business right when the market crashed. Or maybe they had been in that business a little while when the market crashed. So they had been agents, and then they switched to, you know, selling tools and things to real estate agents. And that is a terrible market to be in. I mean,
it's kind of like buying a ticket on the Titanic. You know, it looks like a great ship, and you know, it's, you know, everybody's applauding when it leaves the harbor, and you feel like you're off on a grand experience, and you hit an iceberg, and now you got to get the life rafts out. So, yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine what it would be like selling. I don't even know how anyone would give real estate away in California, let alone sell it today. But seriously, have you seen it? I mean, just a real quick sidebar. I'm sure people have seen the YouTube videos of, you know, guys just driving through certain California neighborhoods, nice ones, with their video camera, and it's like block after block. It's like New Orleans without the flood. brand new, beautiful houses, empty, block after block after block. So these guys ended up in a place they didn't expect their market was going to be, which, by the way, is kind of the way the world works. You know, you very rarely end up in the market you think you're going to be. But
right.
So how did they adjust, and how did they use foundational things to?
They decided, okay, we're going to get serious about this, and we're going to invest our profits in education. They weren't even profits at that point. They were, you know, revenues. And they got really rigorous about testing, tracking, metrics, traffic, and follow-up. They're buying the Google clicks, and they're measuring the opt-ins, and they're measuring the conversions to sales, and they're testing landing pages and testing Google Ads and, like, doing very basic things. They came to my autoresponder seminar, and they started working on that stuff. And their growth just was exponential. Now, exponential growth still takes a while to pay off when you're starting from pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, their business has been growing very admirably, and they are now making very comfortable incomes and doing well in a market where most of their competitors have just left.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a new blood thing. And it's really gratifying to see that. They're in my roundtable group, which is my highest level group. Now, another one of my roundtable guys is in the postal business, which is also a really bad business to be in right now.
When you say postal, you mean?
He sells software that optimizes delivery, shipment, and postage costs of large mailings.
Yeah, that is not a good business to be in today.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, and so he came on board right, kind of like Jamie and Joey, right about the same time as the crash happened. And it took two or three months before the crash hit the postal business, but it hit the postal business. And mailing rates started dropping, and companies started scrambling to find any way they could to save cost and mail less. And all of a sudden, his sales are plummeting, and he's having to lay people off. And we talked about how he should respond to this. And basically, my advice was, you need to be much more aggressive about the actual value of what you sell, because you do sell a way to cut cost. Okay? They might not have any money, but they still might need to borrow it and buy your thing so that they can do better 3 months from now than they're doing right now, because, you know, only, you know, people are dropping left and right. And
so we're with the old saying, a rising tide lifts all boats. So in a market like that, his marketing could be so-so, and people are just going to buy because this is a good product and
right,
no big deal. But in a market where everybody's suddenly looking at every dollar, which, by the way, I mean, we're recording this in 2010, I don't think it's a negative thing to say that this could be going on for quite some time. I mean, the boom, which pretty much started in 1980, which was 30 years ago, that was one long phase. Well, you can also have a long phase of people being very tight and very cautious. And this is a place where the direct marketing foundation really, really shines.
Right. So yeah, there's no telling how long it lasts. I'm not making any predictions. I have no idea. Anyway, he started doing that. But the other thing he started doing was where his natural instinct was to cut expenses to the bone, and his competitors are cutting expenses to the bone, and everybody's going, well, okay, how about instead of getting on airplanes, we, you know, just do conference calls instead and all that. What he did was he said, you know what, I am going to invest every dime necessary to close a new customer. And so instead of him flying off to see a customer for a sales call, he'd take his whole team. He'd take six people with him. It's like, okay, this is the head of operations. This is the head of logistics. This is the head of software development. We're here, and not only, you know, here we are in person, in your conference room. These are the people that are going to be supporting you, but, okay, what do you need? What new features do you need? What customizations do you need? This is the head of software development right here. And his sales started going up. In the last few months, actually since the summer, have been record months. Typical months now are higher than record months used to be.
Wow.
And he is growing so fast and so effectively that the whole buzz in the postal industry is his company is the place to be. And they are hiring people who got laid off. Like, their employer had no choice but to get rid of them just because of budget considerations, but they actually were really great people, and it was a critical function. So he's hiring those same people and renting them back to the companies they used to work for.
Really? Wow.
Yes. He has people who own, you know, mail shops and different things like that offering to sell their companies to him. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
Well, and, you know, we didn't intend for this to be necessarily a call on this particular topic, but, you know, sometimes people get scared in times like this, think, oh, my God, you know, this is the worst time to expand. This is the worst time to start a business. This is the worst time to be aggressive about getting new customers. And the historical reality, and you can verify this 18 different ways to Sunday, is this is when businesses, the smart businesses expand and consolidate. And when the market does come back and gets frothy again, you know, that's when these companies really just take off and great fortunes are made. I mean, you can see this. I wrote a piece a while ago. I think I sent it to you. I just went through Google and I just said started in 1930, founded in 1930. And I did that for every year of the Depression. And the names that came up, the companies that came up, you know, Ray-Bans and Krispy Kreme and Volvo and all these really companies that went on to do pretty amazing things started in at a time when you should not have been starting a business.
Yeah.
But if you have the kind of foundation and controls and tracking and testing and a methodology for growing, you can go into any environment, you know, a really vibrant one or one that's really tight, and get the money out of the marketplace while your competitors are trying a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We'll dabble with this. We'll, you know, they're at sea. They don't know what to do, but you know what to do because you've got a method. And speaking of method, one of the things that we're doing that's unique this year, we haven't done it in many years. In fact, I was talking with Perry before the call, and I think it's been 7 years since we've done this. We're going to have some extra trainings after the system seminar for people that want to do more. And on Monday, following the system seminar, we're doing a day devoted exclusively to this kind of thinking, this kind of approach to business. And Perry will be on it, and I'll be on it. And we've got I think it's fair to say, a very special guest. Several years ago, somebody recommended that I write to Drayton Bird because I was going over to London to speak. And I thought, oh, God, you know, Drayton Bird, he's not going to have 5 seconds for me. This guy's like a god of marketing. This guy's, you know, worked with David Ogilvy. He He was the creative international creative director for all of Ogilvy's agencies all around the world. He taught direct marketing on behalf of David Ogilvy. He's been in the business for over 40 years. You know, he's not even going to return my email. So when he returned my, just the fact that he returned my email, I was over the moon. Okay, and then the fact that he was considering, even just considering, coming to our London event and just appearing and maybe speaking a little bit, I couldn't believe how lucky I was. And then he came and he gave a fantastic presentation, and some of that is on our thesystemblog.com in the video section. And you know, over the years, and it's taken that long, we've become friends, we've become colleagues, and now after all this, Drayton's actually going to come all the way from London to Chicago. He's going to be part of the System 2010 faculty. And when he said yes to that, I thought, oh man, you know, I want to spend a whole day with him, just me. And then of course Perry lives in Chicago, and I know Perry is such a serious, hardcore student of direct marketing that he'd want to be in on it too. And then I thought, well, if the three of us are going to hang out, why don't we open it up a little bit and let some other people join in? So Monday after the system seminar, for those who are interested, an entire day with Drayton Bird. And you know what I always say about Drayton is, just go to Amazon. You know, just go to Amazon and see his books and see the comments on his books and see where the comments are coming from and who's making the comments. It's quite amazing. So Perry, direct marketing, we've talked around it a little bit. It's a field where it's one of those, I think in every field experience counts, but you know, there's a difference between, you know, someone's done a few things successfully in, you know, in 10 years or so, which is pretty good, nothing to sniff at. But when what about somebody, you know, what's the difference of, you know, 20, 30, 40, 40 plus years doing things at a pretty high level?
You know, I think human beings generally live just long enough to think that everything they came up with was new. Like the other day, a 66-year-old guy said to me, he said, every generation thinks they invented sex. you know, he was really trying to make the point that there's a lot of things that aren't new that people think are new, and then they're repeating old lessons that really didn't need to be learned a second time. And, you know, hopefully what civilization does is it passes on the shortcuts down to the younger generation. Well, okay, so here we are. I was having another conversation with another guy. You know, I turned 40 this past year, and this other guy was about to turn 40, and we're just chatting, and we both kind of agreed that there's kind of this age range, which I think is roughly my age, where the first thing you ever did in your career that really was successful had something to do with the internet. And therefore, you got it. Maybe you really started to get it in 1996 or 1999 or something before the rest of the world really did get it. Like, mm-hmm. I had my first email address in 1995. And I'm not a super early adopter, but I was definitely ahead of the pack. And I floundered around for a long time, and there's a lot of things that didn't work. And the stuff that I did that started to work was online. And what me and this other guy were talking about was there's a lot of people that were a little older, a little more successful, or had a little less incentive to figure out the internet, maybe simply because they were less desperate, who they never quite got it. It was like, oh, yeah, that internet thing. You know, well, I don't really get that. Like, what's that all? And, you know, like they were never going to really attach to it. But I did. I crawled inside it. And most people that we're talking to today definitely crawled inside the machine, and they want to be inside the machine, okay? So So anyway, it's an industry that's mostly been built by younger adults who blazed a trail in the Wild West, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they think that this is all new. Well, the technology certainly is, okay? But the marketing, the advertising, and all that stuff is not. It's not new. Scientific Advertising, 1918, Claude Hopkins. You know, everything he describes in that book is new again on the internet. And so I have a real appreciation for people that I would refer to as sages, okay? Like in management, think of Peter Drucker, okay? Those kind of people. Well, Drayton Bird is kind of a Peter Drucker kind of a guy, okay? And he'll completely mesmerize you with stories about stuff that was being done in 1964, and it truly is interesting, okay? They're really interesting stories, but they have direct applicability to whatever you're doing now. And I always like the phrase, if you need a new idea, read an old book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of people think, you know, the old phrase, there's nothing new under the sun. A lot of people think that that's just like an excessively conservative bit of cynicism. No. No. It's a huge labor saver. Okay? You know, if you can go back to 1964 and borrow something that's really insightful, it's true forever. One of my books that I have here is called Reality in Advertising by Rosser Reeves. And it was written in, let's see, what year is this? I don't know. I can't even find a date here. It looks like it's the 60s. But he invented the term USP. You know, I didn't ask Drayton, but I bet Drayton knew Rosser Reeves. I bet you he did. Hard to imagine that he didn't. You know, a guy who's smart enough to identify USP as being a primary important thing and all of the other things and to actually coin a term for it, you know, he's probably got other insights too. It's probably not the only one. So, you know, when you find a well that produces water, you dig as deep as you can.
And I think the point's well taken that there are things that Drayton did in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s that are absolutely applicable today and might even seem revolutionary today, especially if they were applied to the Internet. But I also want to point out he continues to develop campaigns. He continues to work with companies large and small, getting companies off the launching pad, and then also working with mature companies that are just trying to tighten up everything that they do and become more profitable. I'm a big, now that I'm 50, which I turned 50 this year, I'm starting to appreciate longevity a lot. If you stay in any field long enough, you see a lot of meteoric careers. And the positive side of a meteor career is you flash up, and there you are, and you make a lot of noise, and you throw off a lot of light. The negative side is you disappear. That's the nature of a meteor. And so when you see somebody that hasn't, that isn't, at it for 5 years or 10 years, but at it for 40 plus years, always creating, great work. That kind of gets my attention because there's somebody that clearly knows what he's doing because you couldn't stay in the field that long if you didn't know what you were doing. And he also, and I'll say this from my experiences with Drayton, he just loves direct marketing. He loves the whole working of it, all the moving pieces. And the other thing too, and this is one of the things that he's gonna bring both to the general sessions and then the masterclass on Monday. He is absolutely devoted to testing. He knows that testing and tracking and all the things that we were talking about earlier in this call are the ultimate key to making all this work. I imagine you have a pretty good library of marketing books.
I think I do. I think it's pretty good. It's not the biggest one in the world, but yeah.
I'm always amazed that I can open up a book by Rosser Reeves or David Ogilvy or Eugene Schwartz or Claude Hopkins or John Caples. It's like, my God, here's a guy that was at this for decades, and he put his best stuff. I mean, here it is. And he's laying it all out for me. I first encountered Drayton from his book Common Sense Direct and Digital. Well, it wasn't digital in those days. It was just Common Sense Direct Marketing. And I read it, I think, back in either the mid or early 1980s, I mean, right when the book came out. And I had already read a lot of direct marketing stuff at that point, but I never read a book that made me feel that this was a thing that was done by human beings. You know, everything seemed so serious and so professional. And obviously, Drayton is extremely professional, otherwise he couldn't continue to do what he does, but he also brings fun to it, the fun to the work of it.
Well, he's a very opinionated, sharp, witty, old codger. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word, but I mean, totally colorful. So, I can't wait. I'm like, oh, I can go do this thing with Drayton? Sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that I didn't want to miss, and I wanted to spend a day, and I knew you would right away. You were the first person I thought of. I said, if we're in Chicago, Perry's gonna want to spend time, good quality time with Drayton. For people that are interested in this, it's going to be the day after the system seminar. So often I hear from people after the seminar is starting to wind down, they're going, oh God, I wish I could stay another week. You don't have quite a week, but you can stay another day, and you can work with Perry and Drayton and I on direct marketing and how it applies to internet marketing. And then there's another element here, which is that you can, if for those that are interested, you can actually have Drayton with an assist from Perry and me actually take your business apart, the legendary hot seats. But this is pretty high-end hot seat stuff because, when we do seminar, when I've done seminars with Drayton in the past in England, people will ask a question, and he'll have usually a very good answer. And then he'll often say, oh, and by the way, the four or five times that we've done this successfully, this is how we did it. And he can often refer to actual ad copy and sales sequences and stuff that has already been done, maybe done and forgotten, and worked. And that's pretty rare. There are only a handful of people I know who have that kind of depth in direct marketing who can not only come up with good theoretical opinions about a way to proceed, but can actually show you, many, many things that he worked on personally and made work. So for those that are coming to the masterclass with Drayton and Perry and me, if you want to be considered as one of the case studies for the hot seats, what you should do is call our office and get an application because obviously we're together for a day. We don't have, you can't do an infinite unlimited number, so we're going to pick, some arbitrary but small number to work with. So if you'd like that kind of attention from, I'll say at least two brilliant direct marketing minds plus me, we have a fee of that of $1,000. Again, it's not, obviously, this is not for everybody, but if you'd like a pretty highly charged consulting session with one guy from London and one guy from New York City and one guy from Chicago, all of whom have racked up some pretty good records in their career, this would be a way to do it. The number for that, so if you've got a pen handy, is 845-757-5037. We're actually going to ask you to call in and get that. It's kind of a screening device, 845-757-5037. You'll talk to Bettina, or if the office isn't, we're open from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, Eastern time. If she's not available, when you call, just leave your contact information, and fax number is probably best, and we will send you a copy of the application, and we'll look at it. And basically, what we want to do is we want to pick the ones that are going to work best for the training. So we don't know which those will be until we see them. So all this is going to be happening on April 12th. That's a Monday in Chicago, and that's the day after System 2010. This is something akin to what Perry and I and Ken Giddens and Don Crowther did seven years already. We did a thing called Traffic School. It was after the San Francisco System Seminar. And I think it was a life-changing event for a lot of people in the internet marketing business.
I was very proud of it. We sold it for a long time. Matter of fact, it was a little out of date for a while. We still sold it. People still liked it. So, I think the event with Drayton is going to be a barn burner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's going to be, you know, we don't expect, to have, we're not going to have hundreds of people at this thing. This is designed to be small enough so that everybody can ask questions, everybody can participate. And then, like I said, for those who want the special treatment and want their businesses gone over and examined and worked up, you'll have Drayton, Perry, and me doing that. And for an application for that, call our office, 845-757-5037. And for the system seminar, just to register for that, go to thesystemseminar.com. It's April 9th through 11th. For those who register for the system seminar, you'll be given the option immediately of getting the additional day with Perry and Drayton and me on the screen. But you have to actually register for the seminar to get it. I love high energy learners, and what I really want is people who've been through the system training that weekend, who are going to be high as kites, to come into the room on Monday in a small group setting to work with one of the great minds in direct marketing, with assists from Perry Marshall and me, Ken McCarthy. So hey, Perry, thanks for talking with us about some of the realities of internet marketing and some of the secret sauce that makes the whole thing work. And as always, I'm looking forward to seeing you again in Chicago. You lucky guy. you're one of the few people that can drive to the seminar. But, hey, that's what you get for living in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having it in Chicago.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Great. Well, we'll see you then. Take care, everybody.
Take care.